Let's pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. We were the pioneers in bringing people to study the language in the land, but when something has a track record of 20 years, it means that other people realize this is something good, and so there are now two very similar programs, and who knows, maybe there'll be three or four or five, because the need is tremendous. I want to thank the congregation for prayers because 7 of the 14 who are coming for a full semester program are here. From Paraguay for the first time, from Russia, from Mongolia, and from Brazil are already here, and others on their way, and still visa obstacles even right up to the last minute. Nothing new in that. Practically almost every year. But thanks for your prayers for them. Blessed are the meek. I'm going to talk about the meek from the world's point of view, from the biblical point of view, and then how to become meek. Ashrei ha'anavim ki yirshu aretz. Blessed. Well, so far so good. We all want to be blessed. And we've had a couple comments on that already. It's more than happy is the man. It's God's affirmation and confirmation. This particular Hebrew word, blessed. Inherit the land, that sounds good too. But meek, the quality that will allow you to inherit the land, what's this meek business? Do you like this beatitude? A friend of mine and I went to Tizay, which is a Protestant monastery of sorts in France, and we were told for the whole day not to talk at all, except at mealtime. And we were there for several days, and there would be a monk available if we wanted to talk about personal things. In fact, it was required. And my friend was determined he was not going to let that monk get the foot in the door of his heart. And so the monk read the story of the woman who wept on Jesus' feet and then wiped his feet with her hair. And then he blew my friend away because he asked something totally unexpected. He said, "Do you like this story?" And he says, "No, it's mag'il, it's disgusting. You know, crying on somebody's feet and wiping them with your hair." And that question of the monk was the Holy Spirit taking my friend by surprise so that he opened up and they had a wonderful conversation. Do I like the idea of being meek? No. Meek sounds negative. In Israel, people are scared to death of being friar. Friar means somebody that's a dish rag, a doormat. People just walk all over you. They take advantage of you. You know, kind of pardon me for existing. I knew one person who wanted to show off that she knew a little Hebrew, and of all the verses, she picked, "Ani tolat velo adam," I am a worm and no man. Decent non-entity. I remember being in a prayer group, and I'll never forget, "Dear Lord, protect us from being decent non-entities." Just go along, don't rock the boat, drift along like my alma mater is St. Olaf Lutheran College, founded by evangelical believing Christians. In the meantime, They have a Buddhist as head of the religion department and shocked the daylights out of me. I knew they were sliding by having an alumnus magazine, the alumni magazine, practically with pride that two men had gotten married on campus. And you can't believe what you're reading, you know, what kind of a drift can take place if you're a decent non-entity who just goes along with the directions and the culture in which you're living. Tozer is a Christian pastor who's written daily devotionals. And he said, if you want to know what the world is, just turn the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, inside out. And then you'll know what the world is like. Poor in spirit, haughty. Mourning, carousers. Meek, arrogant. Hungering for righteousness, corrupt because of greed in order to get personal gain. Merciful, merciless. Pure, impure. Peace, troublemakers, warmongers. Persecuted, no, persecutors. And you see where human nature takes you. But then, let's consider what it is in the Bible. It may even be that meek's not the best translation of anav, because it has rather negative, a person who can be overrun, implications in English. But let's see the word anav in Hebrew. And it says about Moses. The very first time the word is used in the whole Bible is about Moses in Numbers chapter 12. He was anav me'od. He was very anav. So what is this anav? He was very humble. I mean, think about it. He grew up in Pharaoh's court. I mean, he was from the top of the top and then becomes a murderer and ends up living much of his life as a shepherd and doesn't even like the idea of being a leader. When he's called, complains about it, asks, who are you that is thinking to send me on something like this, and said, but I even am kved pei, whatever that is, heavy mouthed. And so he has to be encouraged that your brother will be your spokesman, and then becomes one of the greatest leaders the world has known. So what is this humility? What about Saul? Samuel complains to Saul and says, even though you are katan be'enecha, small in your own eyes, you are rosh shivtei Yisrael, you are the head of the tribes of Israel. So how can you just go along with what your men want instead of what God wants? So Saul would be an example of somebody who's meek, but not humble before God, humble before his men, meek, in the light of what his men wanted him to do. How about David? Someone did a study on David calling out to the Lord, which he did through much of his early career, when he was fleeing from Saul and when he became the head of his own tribe of Judah. But then there's a period in his life where you don't read that he was calling out to the Lord, and that's when Bathsheba, and he had a relationship that ended up as being not just an adulterer but a murderer. But then when Nathan comes to him, he breaks. C- Create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. So, he would be an example of somebody who is enough before the Lord, even though it took him some really drastic experience to move him from the arrogance to accepting Nathan's challenge. The prophets got killed for doing what Nathan did. But David humbled himself. Now, there are stories about false humility. One of the rabbinic stories is that this rabbi was so humble, he would always do his charitable acts in secret. But his disciples knew that, and they wanted to be encouraged by his humility. So when he went out, they would follow him at a distance, and they would be watching around the corner at the wonderful humility of this rabbi doing these acts of kindness and generosity that nobody knew anything about. But then one day, something happened where they didn't follow him, and he died. He was so dependent on the fact that they knew how wonderfully generous he was and how humble he was, that when they weren't there to honor him for his humility, he died. You see, there's quite a bit of wisdom in this little story. But I was reading a book about Christian counseling, and they mentioned a lady who was about in her 50s and was just this kind of perfect Christian saint, just completely sweet and smiling. But she began having physical illnesses, symptoms, that nobody could kind of figure out. And finally, this one counselor enabled her to open up, because there's not a one of us who hasn't been offended more or less seriously, and sometimes even been done real dirt and crimes have been done to us. But if that hasn't been dealt with before the Lord, and the sweetness is a crust, then it can start taking a toll on your physical health. I just absolutely admire my mother-in-law, because she had Alzheimer's the last 10 years. First, she didn't recognize me. Then she didn't recognize her daughter, my wife. And then she didn't recognize her own husband. And she stayed the same sweet person all the way through. What a testimony. You know, how many of us with our pretenses we can hope, but would we be the same person we appear to be or pretend to be if all the masks were removed? It's really wonderful to know that there are people like that. In fact, the last sensible thing she ever said to me, didn't even know who I was, knocked at the door of my car when I and the wife and kids were driving away. In those days, round the window down. Remember, young man, don't do anything except what the Lord tells you to do. That's her last sensible words that she ever... What a heritage! Or Peter. Arrogant Peter. If everybody else leaves you, I'll never leave you. And a few hours later, he's denying that he knows who Jesus is. He's so scared for his life. But then when Jesus looks at him, he breaks up. He went out and wept bitterly. And then the Holy Spirit dealt with him. So that when he's called before the high priests, Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you or listen to God, you decide. But we're going to keep preaching about this man. So, David was humbled. Peter was humbled. But it ended up with him having tremendous strength. Just a few weeks ago, one of our granddaughters had a party with some friends and family as she was going off to enter the army. And her father, my son, was challenging her, you know, with how you can get in the drift of all those who are around you who are not believers. And then gave an example that had happened just the day before. Our oldest grandson was told by his officer, together with some other soldiers, to load army goods into the officer's car who was going to take it home. And he refused. That's stealing. I don't think he said it to his face, but he said, no, I can't obey that. And then one of the other soldiers spoke up, and several others, and they ended up carrying the stuff out of the car back where it belonged. And so how a person who's actually a rather quiet fellow, you know, had what would be biblical humility, humility before God, but not necessarily before man, and especially not if you're being commanded to do something that's illegal. So, application. How do you become meek? Is it something that's achievable? Can you strive to be meek? No, meek has something to, being humble has something to be unassuming, unaware. And that's something that you've worked hard to achieve. Well, what gives me the most joy? And you can number off. You know, this last week, what did I most enjoy doing or getting? Our 13th and 14th grandchildren, twins, just had their birthday. We're celebrating now at noon, so once I'm through here, off to the birthday party. And I don't need to list, you know, anything that would come to some of our minds as to what I enjoy most. But there's something about Jesus who says in Matthew 11, come to me. Take my yoke upon you, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, did it ever occur to you that Jesus never had an opinion on anything? I mean, he spoke the truth. Didn't have to have an opinion. He just spoke what was right. And here he is saying, take my yoke upon you, the yoke of the kingdom of heaven. I mean, how did he dare to talk that way? I mean, you say that in Jewish ears. The yoke of the kingdom of heaven is taking on your shoulders God's Torah. I want to take responsibility on my shoulders to live out the Torah, the kingdom in my life. And he dares to say, take my yoke upon you? That's not just chutzpah, that's giduf, that's blasphemy. And he knows that that was the reaction. So what's the very next thing he said? Total opposite. For I am anav. I'm meek and I'm lowly in heart. Now if you're a man saying, take my yoke, that's the height of pride. But if you're God, if you're Emmanuel, come down to live the Torah among us, that's the depth of humility. yoke, submission. And I'll give you rest from having to pretend to be something that you're not. More important to be okay in God's eyes than in anybody else's eyes. And so how do you become meek? Concentrate on Jesus. I look at Facebook occasionally, and I get scared when some of them is mostly pictures of the person's, of their own Facebook. Concentrating on Jesus, not even to a great degree, not caring what somebody else thinks about you. There's Miss Lawrence was a missionary here in this land in Beersheba, Christian Missionary Alliance. Very quiet, small, almost mousy kind of person, but such a beautiful serving spirit. And a rabbi who lived just down the street over here said, "The missionaries I like the most are Americans who come with big cars and hand out tracts and aren't attractive to anybody. Although I once heard Homer Lanier say at this mic, he said, I don't have any mission strategy. Sometimes there are some superficial American kids come hand out tracts and someone comes to the Lord. We don't know anything. No years of training how to do it. So I'm not going to debunk totally. But anyway, the rabbi said, those are the missionaries I love the most. Nobody's attracted. But Miss Lawrence, she's dangerous. She makes the Christian life look attractive. And he loved Miss Lawrence. But there's that spirit of being in love with the Lord that then attracts people, not to you, but to the lifestyle that they see you've been enabled by the Holy Spirit to live. Or I knew somebody who was full-trained theologian, and instead of going to teach in a school or become a pastor, became a missionary here in Israel to the Bedouin. That, for me, would be an example of somebody who's enough. Or Etta Linnemann, German professor, teaching high criticism, pulling the scripture texts apart and maybe having some vague respect for Jesus as a teacher, but and then the Holy Spirit got a hold of her. She ended up teaching at a little mission college in Indonesia. And Petra Held, whom some of you know, a German pastor who lives in Israel for many, many years, studied under her when she was still this undermine the Bible type of professor and couldn't believe that she had become a believer and was off to serve in the mission field. So what's my greatest joy? What do I love to do? Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God. There's some of us who've had a whole lifetime of respecting God, respecting Jesus, but not loving him. Because if you love somebody, you want to be in their presence. And then what really hit me, and it's about, I feel like a babe in the Lord, 5 or 6 years ago, when the most important question in the world is not who do men say, who do you say, but it's what he asks of Peter, do you love me? And then Jesus goes and qualifies love God by saying there's another commandment that's like it, love your neighbor. Well, who's my closest neighbor? My wife. So if I want to know how much I love God, I just check, how much am I expressing love to my wife? I used to say, well, I'm just quoting somebody who said, it was a German professor. We were sitting in a beer cellar and some of his students, and he said, I can tell you in one word whether you can trust your professors spiritually or not. You know, they may be Christians, but in one word, I can tell you whether you can trust them spiritually or not. And then he shocked us by saying, humor. He said, if they can't laugh at themselves, if they don't know that they're miserable sinners saved by grace like all the rest of us, they haven't understood the basics. But now I've added one more thing, whether you can trust somebody spiritually or not. Do they know to love their wives? So, how do we become meek? By forgetting it. By just wanting to be closer to Jesus. And one of my rabbinical friends said, the problem with Jesus is he aims too high. You're better off teaching the group of people, be good. But on the level that it's possible. And then they'll keep on doing it. If you say, be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect, nobody can do that. And so then they'll just give up, won't even try. So I chewed on that a long time. Until I came up with, yeah, Jesus does aim high, be perfect. And he's the only one who was perfect. But when we turn to him, we buy into that perfection. And we may never live it out, but we surely are going to get more Holy Spirit power to stretch in that direction than if we had never confessed our sin, if we had never been broken. I'm really scared by Paul's spiritual journey. These other people are bragging. That's step number one. Okay, let me cut loose. And he brags, you know, about all the stuff that he's done. I know this isn't right to do, but if they do it, here we go. The next step, I'm doing things that I don't want to do. And I'm not doing things that I want to do. And the next step, I'm the least of all saints. And at the peak of Saul's personal journey, spiritually, he said, I'm the chief of all sinners. How could Paul say that? Because he began realizing when you compare yourself to the perfection of Jesus, the more you compare, the more you're going to see that you're not there. But then that humility, that meekness, that anvitanut is what makes you a vessel that's able to get Holy Spirit power, not to be another Jesus, but to stretch, not out of grinding your teeth or compulsion, but just thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. And then you stretch to be more like him. Let's pray. But before we do, I'm not going to resist reading from Psalm 37, because if you do inherit the land, five times, just in this one psalm. And that's for sure where Jesus is taking it. And then you see some of the characteristics that are involved. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently. Fret not over somebody who prospers in his way, who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not. It only tends to evil. Wait for the Lord. Those who wait for the Lord will inherit the land. And then the parallel is the very next verse. The meek shall inherit the land. That's exactly Jesus' words. And will delight themselves in abundant peace. The righteous is generous and gives. Blessed by the Lord, inherit the land. The steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his way. Turn away from evil, do good. The Lord loves justice. Righteous shall inherit the land. Wait for the Lord. Keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. Let's pray. Father, we want to be blessed. You own the land. You give it to whom you will. And you've told us if we humble ourselves that you will give us all that we need and more. Pressed down abundantly, flowing over. And so we ask that we'll never try to be humble or meek. We'll just look at Jesus and want to be more like him. In his name we pray. Amen.